Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, helping families love their homes again. Inspiration at callmosby.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, September 24th. I'm Abby Larico. This month, St. Louis leaders promoted a three-week blitz to clean up debris from the deadly May tornado. Still, some in North St. Louis say they're frustrated by the slow pace of the city's cleanup efforts.
Well, the progress I have seen has been primarily from volunteers. The city has been woefully missing in action.
STLPR's Kayvon Mansouri and Andrea Henderson are on the ground in some of the city's hardest hit neighborhoods. They're reporting, coming up after this news on The Gateway. A proposal for a $600 million data center inside Midtown's shuttered Armory building will not go before the city's conditional use board this week. Developer TriStar Properties asked for a continuance on the hearing that had been set for Thursday morning. Board of Aldermen President Megan Green has said she has concerns about the project, but that the Midtown Redevelopment Corporation and St. Louis University have most of the authority over its approval. TriStar has asked the city for a conditional use permit to build and operate two data centers, one inside the Armory and another on its current parking lot. The proposal will be the first data center project to undergo a stricter hearing process under an executive order signed last Friday by Mayor Kara Spencer. TriStar hopes to buy the Armory building from fellow developer Green Street. The building has been empty for a year. A new food hall is set to open in downtown St. Louis this spring. St. Louis Public Radio's Olivia Mizell has the details.
The Washington Avenue Food Hall will include 8 food vendors and 2 bars in one building. After the success of the City Foundry Food Hall that opened in 2021, Ward 14 Alderman Rasheen Aldridge says he hopes this continues to revitalize Washington Avenue and downtown St. Louis.
I'm thinking that this is not only just going to add to the success and the momentum downtown, but, you know, hopefully we start to see more development like this that bring activity and experience for people to have a good time in downtown.
The project is being developed by local real estate investor Alex Oliver, who has been purchasing and developing properties on Washington Avenue the past few years. I'm Olivia Mizell, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Boeing worker strike is now in its 8th week, and negotiations remain stalled. Machinists Union Representative Jody Bennett said yesterday he had still not received a formal response to the contract offer that the union submitted to the company on Friday. But a Boeing spokesperson says the statement the company issued Friday, which called the union's offer not real, should be considered an official rejection. Bennett says the union is ready to return to the negotiating table and has asked for dates to meet, but the company has not responded. Another union representative says the union reached out to President Donald Trump for support, but hasn't heard back, but has received support from other politicians, Republican and Democrat. Reforming pensions for public sector employees hired after 2011 is expected to be a subject of the Illinois General Assembly's veto session next month. The state representative chairing the legislature's pension group says it is critical work, but it may not get done until next spring. STLPR's Will Bauer reports.
Democrat Jay Hoffman of Swansea spoke into questions from Southern Illinois University Edwardsville employees for an hour. State lawmakers have been trying to rework what are known as Tier 2 pensions for a while now. They argue that Tier 2 isn't as generous as Tier 1 and hurts job recruitment. A proposal in May didn't cross the finish line because it was introduced so late. Hoffman says it's not possible to go back, but this bill is better than the current system.
I think there's somewhere in between that is much fairer, but as importantly, allows us to remain competitive with surrounding states so that the best and the brightest want to stay here in Illinois and work.
Getting the reform passed in the October veto session would be nice, but Hoffman says that may not be realistic. In Edwardsville, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Missouri's largest individual medical insurer is returning roughly $87.5 million to its policyholders in the state after violating the Affordable Care Act's medical loss ratio. Ambetter from Home State Health is a subsidiary of Clayton-based Centene Corporation. The Missouri Independent reports Ambetter must rebate the large sum of money because it spent more on administration than on care. The insurer began notifying policyholders that rebates of more than a month's premium have been sent through the mail. Ambetter isn't the only insurer issuing rebates. United Healthcare announced this month that it will return more than $350 million nationwide for group and individual market plans. It's unclear how much of that money will go to Missouri policyholders. 34 state and local law enforcement agencies in Missouri and other Midwest states are now working with ICE. It's a partnership under the 287G program, which offers financial incentives and allows local and state officers to enforce certain immigration laws. Local ICE agreements have swelled from 135 to more than 1,000 nationwide since Donald Trump returned to office. Kathleen Bush Joseph with the Nonpartisan Migration Policy Institute says this kind of expansion is strategic for ICE.
They're recognizing that ICE alone does not have enough personnel to be attempting to carry out Trump's mass deportations campaign.
The Trump administration stated goals of 3,000 deportations a day and 1 million a year. This month, St. Louis launched a three-week cleanup blitz to clear debris from May's deadly tornado. Our reporters have been tracking the progress, questioning city leaders and the debris removal crews. We start with St. Louis Public Radio's Kayvon Mansouri, who shares how people who live in these hard-hit communities believe the cleanup is going.
Dennis Collins stands in front of what remains of an oblong-shaped building in Fountain Park. He's looking over a huge pile of debris pushed to the curbside for pickup. It all came from the house behind him. The turret-style roofing that made the building stand out from many others in the area is gone. The back wall has collapsed, too. Collins leads the salvage operations on this historic building. His cousin owns the property. Each day since the tornado, he and other workers have continued to haul debris to the curb at the corner of Fountain and Bayard Avenue. He says he sees news reports the debris trucks are coming, but they haven't been here yet.
But there ain't nobody been out here. Ain't nobody been out here, because I've been out here every week, every day. You know, and I'm just waiting on the city to come out, because I'm going to keep putting it out till they come out.
This month, St. Louis launched another round of debris cleanup. It's the second contract the city signed to deal with lingering tornado debris after the job was too big for another contractor. On September 2nd, the company and subcontractors began sweeping through some of the hardest hit neighborhoods. The city asked them to rotate neighborhoods over a three-week period, with 4 to 8 weeks of additional cleanup afterward. But Collins says the cleanup has been slow. He says he sees the trucks elsewhere, but estimates he hasn't seen a truck in his neighborhood since right after the tornado.
It's bouncing back, but it's making it harder for us, you know what I'm saying, to bounce back, you know what I'm saying?
Driving around town, it's clear there's been progress. Places where debris once blocked parts of streets and sidewalks have been cleared, but not everywhere. In the nearby Academy neighborhood, neighbors tell St. Louis Public Radio they had to complain nearly a week after their scheduled cleanup before anyone came. Larry Powell lives in the neighborhood. The tornado made his home uninhabitable. He says he's unimpressed by the city's response nearly 4.5 months later.
Well, the progress I have seen has been primarily from volunteers. The city has been woefully missing in action.
In North St. Louis, I'm Kayvon Mansouri.
And I'm Andrea Henderson. Recently, we rode along with the Mississippi Disaster Recovery Company hired to remove debris from streets, sidewalks, and alleys.
We're entering the Penrose neighborhood right now, and this is one of the areas that in our map sees.
That's Adam Faust, Regional Vice President for Looks Great Services. His company's initial cleanup phase lasted for 3 weeks, but the entire effort could take up to 8. Last week, Foss drove through the Penrose neighborhood and then into the Greater Ville. He wanted to assess the company's massive dump truck that was picking up debris at the corner of St. Louis and Marcus Avenues. The self-loading grapple truck resembles two large black dumpsters on wheels joined together by a gigantic claw.
This pile will take him maybe 15 to 20 minutes, and we have laborers over here that work together, and they kind of consolidate the pile so he can scoop it up better.
They've made progress, but Faust admits there have been challenges, including neighbors who are adding more debris after their initial cleanup efforts. Faust also says they're uncovering more debris stuck in tight alleyways that they are working to clear. Meanwhile, residents are also concerned about private debris pickup. Last week, St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer announced the Federal Emergency Management Agency will provide millions of dollars to help clear private property. Julian Nix is the city's Chief Recovery and Neighborhood Transformation Officer. He says crews are working as fast as they can, but understands to some it might not be quick enough.
The one thing we want to give as reinsurance is that we are invested in making sure all debris is removed.
The city hasn't confirmed a date yet of when private property debris removal will begin. But in the meantime, officials say affected residents should prepare now by gathering deeds and titles to any homes that need clearing. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
You can find more coverage of this story for both Kayvon and Andrea and see photos of the cleanup efforts at stlpr.org. Our Brian Moline edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.